It's not just one area that God wants to move in. Not just one. He cares about everything that concerns you. His heart is so tender and good towards you. He cares about the things you have need of. I'll pick on Cammie. Cammie's on our preaching team. Been here since 1996. And see, when she came, she had need of a lot of different things. Sometimes we don't even know what we have need of. We start to realize what we have need of as we spend time in the presence of God. And one of the things she had need of was a healing, and she had been in a school for microbiology. She's a microbiology major back then. Now she's in getting her D&P in nursing. After a 20-year career in sales, a very successful one, she went to Africa and saw children in Africa that needed healing and at orphanages, and she came back and decided she was going to spend her 401k getting a nursing degree, and then she ended up marrying David, an emergency room doctor, and now she's getting a higher level degree so that when they do missions, they will have more to bring than they had before. But when she came, she had been in these microbiology classes, and occasionally she would get these boils, and the boils got more and more and more. They weren't occasional anymore. They were constant, and they were painful. And we were always praying, and we'd get a little relief, and we'd pray as a leadership team, and we'd get a little relief. And one night, we were sitting in a leadership meeting, and Easy was off to the side. Easy's my husband. That's his initials. His book is out in the foyer, Never Give Up. Here's the cover of it. Never Give Up is who this man is. It's full of miracles. It tells about his business days when he owned a hockey team and a tennis team. And all that went to the side, and God called him into ministry. And he's been in India praying for people in leper colonies. He's been in Argentina praying for men in rehabs. He's been everywhere God sends him, he goes. But he says, if God wants me right here, this is where I want to be. See, wherever God wants you is where you want to be. And so we're in a leadership meeting, and that's where God wanted him to be, and that's where God wanted Cammie to be. And he pointed over at Cammie, and he goes, and we were praying for the bulls, and he goes, I see a young man, Cammie, in a chemistry class. And we're like, no. It was a biology. He said, in a chemistry class. And I see he had a nose that was hooked and a space between his two front teeth and dark skin, and his name was Calm. And Cammie goes, Calmlesh. And he goes, he put a curse on you. We're going to break it. Easy broke the curse, and in the name of Jesus, she never had another boil. Okay, God does miracles today. God cares about the things you have need of. There was another time Cammie was sitting on the floor in the church, and he goes, Cammie, quit fiddling around and go get in the word, and things are going to be okay. And she did, and it was. And so he just said what he wanted to say. And so for years, he preached every Sunday morning, and people would show up just to see what outrageous thing he might say. Because he had outrageous faith, and he didn't care what you thought. He had fame and fortune before he ever went in ministry. He wasn't looking to make a name for himself. He would just do whatever God said and whatever he felt like. And interestingly enough, we prayed for him this morning. You know, we used to send out this visitor letter that said, come expecting. Come expecting. I don't know. Does our visitor letter still say come expecting? Alicia, we quit. It does still say that? Do people read it? Are you coming expecting? Right. See, if you got one, are you coming expecting? Yeah. Now, built into that statement, there's an element of still not knowing what to expect. Not knowing what to, because if you come expecting a certain thing, see, some people expect, at my daddy's funeral in the 1991, somebody came expecting that we would have a pew that you could kneel at. We didn't have pews, and they were upset because we didn't have what they expected. So sometimes you put God in a box by what you expect. And so you need to come expecting, but not knowing what to expect. And so expect miracles. See, expect healings. Expect to experience the presence of God. Expect the gifts of the Spirit to flow and be in operation. Expect to grow in intimacy and worship. Expect to meet people who are passionate about Jesus. Expect your own heart and your own life to be transformed. Expect to learn to hear and recognize the voice of God for yourself. Expect uplifting testimonies. See, expect other people to tell of the goodness of God. Now, expect all that on a greater level than you ever dreamed possible. See, last week, when Sabata began his message, and he said something about, I feel miracles in this place. I woke up last Sunday morning. I knew Sabata was going to preach. See, you can't come expecting who's going to preach. You never know. We have a preaching team, and there's nothing normal about us. It was prophesied. Nothing normal about you, but we love it like that. Who wants to be normal? It sounds so average. All right. And so Sabata, I knew he was going to preach. That's who I asked to preach that morning. And when I woke up, I felt the Holy Spirit say, miracles are going to be an operation. He's going to operate in the working of miracles. He's going to operate in the working of miracles. And then he said, I feel miracles in the room. And then he said, you know, if you don't have faith, I have enough faith for you. See, there's something about that statement that you need to be around people that if you don't have faith, they have faith for you. See, who wants to be around people that bring them down, that tell them what they can't do, that tell them what's not possible? I remember when I was sick many, many years ago in the late 1980s, one of my aunts said, well, if this keeps up, I bet you'll be in a wheelchair. Who wants to be around people that say things like that? You need to be around people that know how to lift you up and get you to the place that God wants. And so just interestingly enough, with all this talk about my husband this morning, I did this once, Carol, and you said, oh, I love it. I hope you'll do that again sometime. I brought a little part of one of these sermons, and I had a whole sermon, but I put some of it down because we're going to dispense with that. And I'm going to read a little part of one of his sermons, because when Sabata, now the way he delivered it, I can't deliver it. It's just not, it's not possible. The man is just, is full of, what's he full of, Cammie? How can you even, he's just outrageous. Like, there's, he's one of a kind. But I'm going to read you the words to his sermon called Hole in the Roof. Because, see, Sabata, when he said that, I have faith for you, it reminded me of Easy's sermon, Hole in the Roof. Because if you can't do it, have friends who can. See, if you don't know how to get there, have friends that can get you there. If you don't know how to grab hold of what you need, have friends that can help put it in your hand. And so here's Easy's sermon. We'll just read it for a minute, and we don't know what God's going to do next. Mark 11:24, his favorite scripture. The man has said it 5 million times. Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Healing, sometimes you don't get it right away, but you got to keep believing, and you will get it. Some of you who know him can just hear him saying that. It's like faith comes by hearing. Sometimes you don't get it the first time. You got to hear it again and again and again. Mark 11:24, what does it say? Whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. What's faith? Faith is the living principle of the Word of God. It is life. It produces life. It changes life. If God, when God gives us a knowledge of his book called the Bible, what's in it? There's life in it. God wants us to feed on it. There is life in it. God wants us to feed on the living word. He will flood your soul with his life. But remember, a little bit of sin will spoil a whole life. You can't cleanse sin. You can't purify sin. You can't really be strong if you're in sin. You will not have a right vision while you're in sin. Your revelation gets clouded when sin comes in. So you need to get rid of sin. The human spirit must come to an end. But the Spirit of Christ must be alive and active. This is all in his handwriting. Some of it I'm having trouble reading. You must die to the human spirit, and then God will quicken your spirit and your mortal body and make it alive. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:14, without holiness, no man will see God. But Romans 8:24, 25, 26, and 27 talks about we need to be patient. So sometimes you got to be patient if healing does not come after praying. Be patient. It will come. It's a promise. God keeps his promises. Romans 8:31 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? That ought to make you feel good. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You talked about winning. There is our scripture. We are more than conquerors through him who loves us. He wrote, that should set you free. Now, look at Mark 2:1-5. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door, and he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man. You know, disease paralyzes us. It makes us not able to do things that we want to do. It makes us, in some area or another, we can't operate functionally and fully like we want to. And so they brought a paralyzed man carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Easy said, I want to show you about faith. It's my favorite subject. So Jesus heals this paralytic. Think about this story. I want you to get a picture of it. First, it said Jesus came back to Capernaum again. So he'd been there before. He'd done healings there before. Picture this. You got a paralyzed man. You got four friends. His friends are carrying him on a stretcher. We need friends like that. We need friends like that. We need to be around people of like faith, not people who are the naysayers. He said their faith was already built up. If we could just get him to Jesus, they said. If we could just get him there. Boy, can you find four people who have faith like this? He said, if we could just get him to Jesus and get to the house where Jesus was speaking, we can get him healed. But there was no way for them to get him to Jesus because the house was too full. Now, Easy says, they could have said, well, we tried. It was a good idea. It just didn't work. Don't tell that man he can't do something. He said, but their faith wouldn't let them stop. Your faith shouldn't let you stop. He said, they found a ladder. They went and found a ladder. If they needed something else, they got it. And so they got a ladder to get on the roof. Ashley came up and said, on the way here, God said, flame of fire and blow the top off this place. Well, they blew the top off this place. You do what you need to do. So they found a ladder to get on the roof. And in Palestine, they had flat roof houses. So they take their paralytic friend up on the roof and they start digging a hole in the roof. Easy said, it's probably Peter's house. And this morning I thought, why did he say that? And I looked it up and yeah, it's probably Peter's house. The roofs were made of palm leaves and matting and sticks and a lot of clay. And so it had to be very heavy because they also would walk on these roofs and other things like that. So it had to be very strong. So here's Jesus standing inside the house under four guys who are digging a hole above him in the roof. Jesus didn't stop to see what was going on, but they had to dig a hole big enough for the whole stretcher to get through. This is not some small hole. This is not a 6-inch hole. It's not a 10-inch diameter hole. This is a big hole. Now, it says the roof is above Jesus. So can you imagine as he's preaching, all this junk is falling from the roof, falling down on his head, in his hair, in his lap. Jesus didn't say a word. He didn't say, what are you doing? I'm trying to preach. I'm trying to teach. He just said, look at this faith. See, this kind of faith excites him. He doesn't care if it's messy, if it's real. Look at the faith these four guys have. Easy says, I want you to see this. They're digging a hole in someone else's roof. They don't even know. But they keep digging. You see, Jesus knew their faith. Just like he knew Nathaniel under the fig tree, he knew the paralytic was out there, but he loved seeing their faith. And Jesus didn't forgive that man of his sins until he was lowered down. He could have forgiven him upstairs. He could have said, nah, don't go through all that trouble when all that material from the roof was falling. But just like the Roman soldier in Matthew 8:5, he could have said, no greater faith have I heard. Go on home. Your servant is healed. But instead, he could have said, I know you have faith. Get him off the roof. But they had made up their mind and they had determined faith and he wasn't going to come against it. All of you, my husband said, have to start expecting a miracle. They set their faith in motion. They were not going to be stopped until they saw their miracle. How many people do you know that talk about this kind of faith but never show it? Jesus doesn't want to hear your talk. He wants to see your walk. It was then and only then that he forgave him of his sin and healed him. It's then and only then when you get in the presence of God that you can do what he wants you to do. That's easy sermon for this morning. I don't know what he wants us to do next. But we don't want to leave anything undone of what he wants done. We're going to take an offering in a few minutes. We're going to give announcements in a few minutes. But today, anything that you need, you need to find some friends that can believe. You need to have somebody like Sabata said, if you don't have faith, I have faith for you. See, we have a responsibility one to another to start increasing our faith. Even if I don't need anything, I might need faith for you. This is the body of Christ. You need to care about other members in particular, not just you. And so you know what? I need to have what you have need of because Christ in me is the hope of glory. And so if Christ is in me, he needs to be doing things through me, not just to me, but through me. So, Father, I just thank you for every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you that nothing is too hard for you. I thank you that you reside on the inside of us if we have received you as Savior and Lord. And so, Lord, I thank you that you want to move. You want to move. You want to see a move of God. But see, we're waiting for you to move, and it's sort of like you're waiting on us. And so, God, we move. We move closer. We move into that place. We move into faith. We move past the objections and the old thoughts and the stale thinking that no longer has a place in our life. Can you stand up with me?